You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. My name is Preston McElyea. I serve as one of the ministers here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, as well as one of the hosts for this podcast, and as always, have my fellow brother, fellow minister, fellow co-host here with me in the studio.
Hello, and how is it going on this wonderful day?
You know, I didn't even mention your name.
You didn't? Well, just for those listening, my name is Jared Hammond. I'm also a minister here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, and have enjoyed two seasons now that we've done with this podcast, That You May Grow, and coming to a close in that season and getting ready, you know, for a short break. I think we discussed, what, maybe about a month break?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Try to be back the first Monday in, what did we say, July?
I think that's what we determined.
As you can tell, we're just kind of here.
Just here on the fly. This was a random, let's do this last recording and let's get some information.
We realized, I think, Jared, maybe you mentioned towards the beginning of the last episode we had with my dad and with Brother Bill Money about the Lamb's Academy, that it was going to be our last episode of the season, but then realized we never really gave any explanation beyond that. So we thought, maybe we should just come on for a quick little episode to explain a little bit about what we have coming up and what we hopefully will be able to do in the third season of That You May Grow. But also we realized, you know, we've been asking others all of these questions, but we never really asked them to ourselves.
That's right. You know, and even the idea of coming back on here just to let people know that this season is coming to a close and another one will be starting in July. That's all based on our own assumption that hopefully people are listening to this, right?
I know my wife listens.
Your wife,
sometimes.
Well, hey, there you go. I think mine does occasionally. So there we go. We at least have two listeners.
And I'd like to say, you know, Rosie, my daughter, she'll listen. But all she knows is it's me talking, and maybe she knows it's you talking. Because when you're sitting at about 1.5, there's only so much that you're going to take in.
And, you know, in all honesty, we've received feedback from several people, and we're really glad that people are listening, that that you enjoy this podcast, and we're just thankful to have this opportunity, you know, to continue to record these podcasts.
Well, it breaks up the day a little bit for us when we're able to get in and record, and gives us, you know, something good to be thinking about and continually working on, and continue to you know, study for all the things that we do. And it's a good opportunity we have even just to sit down and discuss these things ourselves. And that's, you know, one of the things I'm looking forward to in the next season, is to be able to sit down and really talk more so about application, more so than the nitty-gritty and the details of looking at two of Paul's letters.
That's right. You know, we have discussed, and I was just trying to think, okay, what did we finalize on? But by what you just said there, I think we're going to Philippians and Colossians, correct?
I believe that's what we talked about. So if it's not what we talked about, it's what we're talking about now.
That's right. That's what it's going to be now. We've made that decision and on air. So there it is. It's final.
There's no takesy-backsies.
Well, we have been asking each of our guests throughout this second season for their favorite book of the Bible, as well as favorite person of the Bible. Of course, not being able to give the answer Jesus, because that's the obvious, you know, obvious answer there. But I guess now it's our turn to go ahead and give our input on favorite book and favorite person.
Well, the pressure is on, I suppose. And maybe it sounds like I'm trying to take the easy way out. Those at Mount Vernon know that right now we've been studying through the book of Romans for a little while in our Sunday morning Bible class. But honestly, I'd probably have to say the book of Romans is my favorite. There are obviously, I mean, that sounds really bad to say, there are obviously some good books out there in the Bible. All 66 books of the Bible are good books. They are all inspired books. But, you know, some of them stand out in our mind more than others. But the book of Romans really does, in my mind, just because of the nature of what the book covers, that you have really the entirety of the Bible summed up there in God's plan to save and to redeem man. And just to recognize that God had this plan all along, despite all the failings that man has and man does each and every day, God's always had the plan to redeem us. God doesn't want us to be lost in sin and to continue in our own disobedience, but to realize that there is a better way, that God's provided that better way, and that it's possible to continue living in faith for Him, knowing that I don't have to be afraid of what may come. I don't have to be afraid of the consequences of the things I've done in the past, because if I live in obedient faith to Him, He's going to take care of me no matter what.
That's right. Well, you know, most of the time it would be said, whatever I'm teaching, right? And
that's what I did.
Romans is really good too, though. I mean, they're all good, but Romans is really good. And that's been a wonderful class, by the way, people that are listening. That is on our YouTube channel. You can go back and listen to that class. It's been an excellent class through the Book of Romans with Preston on Sunday mornings. That's on the Mount Vernon Church of Christ YouTube channel.
We can put a link in there.
Yeah, we can. Sure, yeah. Can. I'm currently teaching Philippians and 1 Kings. And as much as I do like Philippians, I think I'm going to have to go with the Book of Acts. I've had a lot of opportunity to teach Acts in the Franklin County Jail. And just to be able to see all that had been prophesied in the Old Testament about the coming of the kingdom and everything that was going to be established right through Christ, to see that unfold in what is recognized as the hub of the Bible, right? That's the Book of Acts. To see all those prophecies being fulfilled and then that day of Pentecost coming and these men standing and proclaiming that first gospel message and 3,000 souls being added to the kingdom. It gives me chills every time I think about it. But then, you know, walking through the narrative of Acts and seeing how they went from, you know, town to town, city to city and preaching God's word. And it's incredibly motivating when you look at what these men endured, Peter and Paul and, you know, some even losing their lives, you know, for the gospel's sake in the Book of Acts. So it's a wonderful book to show how the church was established and the need to continue to go out and still preach that same gospel message. And it helps us to better understand a statement made by Paul in Philippians chapter 1. He reminds them of these things that he is so joyful about. And one of those things is the mention of our fellowship in the gospel and us sharing in that responsibility, you know, and that's what the Book of Acts is, all of these conversions that you see in the gospel spreading throughout the land. So it's got to be right there at the top of my list. It's hard to pick one, though.
I really understand. Is. And I mean, the Book of Acts is just another reason to love it, is the way that it really helps to solidify the truth of the gospel. Mm. Like you mentioned, you see all that they went through as they were going around teaching and preaching, and think about Paul when he gets stoned in there, and he gets stoned, and he's dragged out of the city, and he's left for dead, and then he gets up and goes right back into the city, yeah. And I think, would I have done that?
Right.
I mean, I probably would have just stayed laying out there and hope that no one else comes back to find me, and Paul's like, hey, I'm just going to go right back in.
That's right.
Go back to town. But say all that to say, shows the truth in the gospel because they were willing to endure it no matter when it came, no matter who it came from, because they knew that the things they were preaching and teaching are true.
Absolutely.
And that gives us motivation and encouragement too.
And you can, oh, go ahead.
No, I don't even know what I was going
to
say.
Sorry. And you can tie so many other books back to it as you walk mm-hmm. through, you know, the missionary journeys, and then you can start bringing in Philippians, you can bring in Thessalonians, all these things. So that's another aspect
without,
of it.
I mean, like. we can understand these other books without the Book of Acts, mm-hmm. but with the Book of Acts, it just brings all of these other books and all the other letters, it brings it much more to light for us and gives it a whole new meaning when we can better understand that historical background. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful book. You may not be teaching it right now, but you've recently taught it. So
that's right.
You still found a way to work in what you've been teaching.
Well, I guess I did.
That's what all good preachers do.
We just stopped the Book of Acts about 4 weeks ago in the jail, so it's pretty fresh in my mind.
But there's a lot of good material in there. Well, that was one question we've been asking everyone. I guess one we can throw in the middle that we've also been trying to figure out are shoe sizes.
Hmm, that's right.
So what size shoe are we wearing?
I think currently I'm wearing a size 11.
Well, you got me beat because I'm in a size 10 and a half.
Well, so. I was in a 10 and a half until I got a pair of Hokas. And for whatever reason, I had to go to 11 in those.
Hoka, if you are listening, you're welcome to sponsor us. Again, Jared's in a size 11. I wear a size 10 and a half.
That's right.
And we can go back and find the shoe sizes for the others that have been on this season and send them a pair as well. That may not happen, but, you know, you never know what might happen.
Wishful thinking, right?
Again, if it's just our wives that are listening, then they know our shoe size now. They have no excuse. They can get us a new pair.
If it's just our wives listening, they're shaking their heads right now like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, we should probably move on. So, favorite person. Jared, who is your favorite person in the Bible?
Oh, man, I was hoping you were going to go first. Oh, wow. That's tough.
I can go first if I need to, if you need a little more
time to
think.
Yeah, I need a little more time to think.
Well, for me, maybe it's just because of the state of life that I'm in right now, but I would probably say my favorite is Timothy. We don't know quite as much about Timothy as we do some others, and Timothy's not really like a main character, if you will. He's kind of just there in the background. He's sort of a supporting character, if you think about it in that way. But Timothy, there's a lot I believe we can learn from him. He's willing to go. He's willing to serve. He has a great background. He grew up learning from his mother, from his grandmother. We see that 2 Timothy 1 from childhood, 2 Timothy 3:15. He's known the Holy Scripture is able to make you wise for salvation. He's had all of this background, and then he goes to start putting it into practice. And he's there with a great mentor in Paul, but still look at 2 Timothy. And even when you look in 1 Timothy, you see that he still needs some help. Still needs some guidance. He's a young man, we know from 1 Timothy 4. How young he is, we don't know exactly. Maybe he was a little bit older than me. Maybe he's around the same age as me. Maybe he was a little bit younger than me. But nonetheless, he was a young man who found himself in the work of the Lord, preaching the gospel, trying to show others, you know, the light, show others the true way. And in the process, came with difficulties for him. Especially because 2 Timothy chapter 1, he had some timidity. He had a little bit of shyness. You know, is it a matter of he's afraid to talk to people? Is he afraid to bring up some of the hard truths because he knows of situations going on in the congregation? But there's the constant encouragement there from Paul. Preach the word. Keep living the way you should. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine you preach. For in continuing in them, 1 Timothy 4:16, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So like I say, maybe it's just where I'm at right now in life and in the work, but I think a lot about Timothy and realize that there's a lot that I can learn from him and from all of the experience he gained in working alongside Paul and the letters he would receive from Paul. And, yeah, so Timothy, I guess that's
pretty good one.
That's my favorite there.
Pretty good. Pretty good one. And really good explanation of why. That was really good. Well, let's see. I thought I'd make my mind up before you were finished. And
is Timothy your favorite too?
Well, no, I can't go with Timothy. I actually kind of thought about Caleb, but if I remember correctly, JJ, was he our first on this season, on season two?
Yeah.
And he chose Caleb, so I'm going to try and pick from someone that was not chosen. And I really think, now this goes back to teaching through the Kings, though I haven't gotten there yet, I would have to say Josiah. You know, to live in a time where things were so great, they had a past, and I'm sure they were aware of the past, how the glories of this physical kingdom at that time, right, of the God's people and everything that they had accomplished leading up through Solomon, with David, Solomon, everything that was going on and how great things were, and then you have this downward spiral that takes place. And they start turning so far away from God, and you have just king after king after king, and you have some that tried to do some good things, a couple through there. And for the most part, they were all just really bad, right? They continued to do the same sins that their fathers before them had committed. And it just continues like that. And it's a very dark time, right, in Judah. And Josiah comes in, and he has the mindset upon reading the law. And that's one of the things that just really stands out to me. Right there, we're trying to refurbish the temple. And they're going through there, and they find the law, and they bring this. I can't remember right off the top of my head the name of the man who brought this to Josiah, but they bring him the law, and more than just seeing, okay, wow, this is the law that we should have been reading and studying, he takes his time to hear it and to then say, wow, we're so far from what God wants us to be. And not only was he ready to make change in his life, but he brought all the people together. He's like, we need to hear this. We need to make change. We're not living a life that's pleasing to God, and there's so much that needs to be going differently. And I just find that remarkable, you know, to stand out like that. And, of course, he was a king, so he had that platform, you know, to be able to make that change. But at the same time, I mean, we all have opportunity in life to really make a stand, you know, for the Lord and to try and bring about great change. And I really appreciate the reforms that you see throughout the kings after the downfall. But Josiah is one of them that stands out, you know, in my mind, that I greatly appreciate how hard he worked to bring about change in the land, though, you know, the end of his story is not the best. But he did pretty good things. Mm-hmm. He did really good things.
If you were 8 years old and became king, what would you have been trying to do in the nation?
Oh, man, what was I doing at 8 years old?
I'd be trying to get ice cream and Legos for everyone.
I know it. For whatever reason, and this will kind of date my age, I guess, for whatever reason, they used to have these little cars. They were like mini, almost had it, micro machines. For whatever reason, when you said 8 years old, micro machines popped into my mind. Little bitty cars. They're not Hot Wheels. They're like miniaturized Hot Wheels. I don't know why that popped into my mind. You asked when I was eight. Hey, that's what came to mind.
Well,
so
thankfully, Josiah moved past the micro machines the ice cream and the Legos. And no, like you mentioned, when he found the law, he did what needed to be done. And that's a great example for us all that sometimes, unfortunately, we forget. Maybe like Josiah, our family wasn't doing what they should have been doing. But when we find the truth, what are we going to do with it?
That's right. And, you know, that's what we're hoping to do even with this podcast is to help present the truth and help people to better understand the truth so that they can, you know, take it to heart and apply it to their lives and say, hey, I noticed something here in my life that is not lining up to what Scripture says, you know, and we hope that upon that realization that people are willing and ready to make the changes in their life, you know, and that's even within the title, that you may grow.
And that's part of the goal in this next season. Of course, we took a little bit of a detour in our second season here and have been talking to others and looking at different areas in which we can all serve, we can all continue to grow and finding, you know, maybe things we didn't know about that are going on within the kingdom and especially in this Northeast Texas area, but just trying to give opportunity there. And then now as we move into the third season here in a few more weeks anyway, we'll be able to really get back into some application of God's word that, you know, this is what the text says, but what's it actually mean? And trying to figure out, all right, have I been doing these things? Have I been growing like I need to? And if we're honest, we all come to the recognition that we've still got room to grow.
Oh, absolutely. Every single day. You know, and that was, I guess this will kind of lead into Philippians, which will be our next study. But, you know, just that mindset of I have not reached it yet. You know, it's still, I can almost see it. I can almost feel it. But I am constantly striving and straining to obtain that goal. You know, so that's our everyday challenge to make sure that we're living up to.
And if somebody like Paul hadn't attained, if somebody like Paul still had room to grow, well, so too do we.
Absolutely.
And, that's, again, like you mentioned, that's part of what we're trying to do here, is encourage that growth, and certainly for the two of us to keep growing as well, and hopefully those who may be listening, whether that's our wives or somebody else.
I'm really hopeful that it's at least a few more.
Well,
but, you know, hey, at the end of the day, we're doing our podcast and, you know.
We're here. We're growing.
That's right. We're growing. That's right. We're growing.
But we're thankful to those of you who are listening to us. And like we mentioned earlier, we're going to have a little bit of a break here as we begin to prepare. And now that we know for sure we're going to do, at least starting with Philippians, and probably move into Colossians there as well, we'll be able to start working on that. and begin getting ready for our third season here on the You May Grow.